stays very small, the high 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 63 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning and welcome into a Tuesday edition of Inside the Locker Room. 205-342-9904 is the phone number if you'd like to jump in. Normally Kevin's with us on Tuesday, but he had a conflict, so he's going to be on tomorrow with us at 7:30. So the first hour is wide open, so a lot of times we have to squeeze those phone calls. So we got plenty of time for phone calls here in the first hour. So dial us up, 205-342-9904. We want to thank Yellowwood, pressure treated pine from Great Southern. They make this 7 o'clock hour possible. And so if you want to build the five-star backyard, there's only one choice. Go to yellowwood.com to find the dealer that is closest to you. And always remember, guys, if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you don't want it. Download that app, the Tide 100.9 app. I think the games were on there this weekend. So any of the shows, the coaches show tomorrow, you can get all that on the app if you're not here in the listening area. If you want to email us, you can do that very easily. Wimp and Barry at yahoo.com. Good morning, Chase. How are you, sir? Good morning, Dad. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing okay. Hanging in there.
All right. Not a great week of football. I don't think, maybe that's why I'm not being disrespectful, but why game day is here. SEC games, you got 11 o'clock kick, Kentucky at Georgia. Georgia, 20.5-point favorite. Texas is back playing. They go to Florida. You would think that would be a big game. And maybe it is a big game for Texas. It is, I guess it's a big game for Florida, too, to get everybody off of them. But a little bit surprising there. Texas only a 6.5-point favorite there. The Vandy-Alabama game now is at 10.5. So game day over here. Kent State goes to Oklahoma. And here's a decent game, Dad. Mississippi State, who played really well. Just your thoughts about them going to Texas A&M. You know, they were close. They had really a great chance to win that Tennessee game. They didn't there at the end. You worry about them having a letdown going to A&M. But your thoughts about Mississippi State?
It was a funny deal, Barry. And everybody said, oh, you know, blue plates and everything everybody talks about. You got to take Tennessee in this because it's just 7.5. And that, those kind of games like that, just like the LSU and Clemson game. Oh, you got to take Clemson. There ain't no doubt about that. Those games, that's where you feel like, you know, it's going to go one way. The team that's the weakest team probably wins the game, or at least covers. And I think you're right. I think Mississippi State will go in there and play hard. Guy does a good job of coaching them, and they are playing a lot harder, and they're a lot better than they have been. If you don't play against them, especially over there, of course, this game's at A&M, so it'll be difficult for them. But I do think that you got an improved football team there, and I'm glad to see it because I've got a lot of buddies over there that love their Mississippi State team, and I'm glad they do. So anyway, we'll see what happens when they make this next road trip. But that won't be easy for them. But and I don't know what you said the line. I forgot what it was. But
let me click back there. Line 14 and a half.
Yeah, 14 and a half. The half of Kitty, as you know.
Yeah.
And so it'd be an interesting game. I wonder what our listeners think, who they think right this minute is the best team in the league. I think there'd be some disagreement about that. That most of them do not think it's Texas, Alabama, and Georgia were picked 1, 2, and 3. Maybe not quite in that order. I think Alabama was third in that order, and they all, they all have had. Well, Texas played okay. Alabama has played bad and good. But the Georgia win was humongous. Is Alabama the best team in the league? Probably not. Defensively, I don't think they are. And Georgia, it's like you said and I said both. I don't want to play Georgia in an overtime, and they had a chance to do that. And so Alabama, he decided that they had been winning games late. Kirby did. And they would win that one late, and by George, they didn't do it. So I think of those three teams that were picked 1, 2, and 3, I don't know who's the best. I don't know if it's there are some people that are going to say, well, the best team in the league is Ole Miss. How good Ole Miss is away from Oxford is a little bit of a question for me.
Yeah, so who is the best team in the SEC? I don't think anybody knows right now.
I don't think you do either.
It's not LSU. It's not Ole Miss, I guess, is the highest ranked. I don't know. I think there's one thing I will say, if you don't like NIL and transfer portal, I will say, Chase and Dad, that it's brought parity. There is no great team anymore. Everybody can go get – you see a lot of these backups playing for Ole Miss and playing really well. Like, they're starting for Ole Miss that were at Alabama. And so, when people start getting your second string guys, they're pretty darn good. And so you see where now anybody can kind of play with anybody now. At the beginning of the year, before the season, they talked about the quarterback from Clemson. All you heard about was Manning. You heard about Lenore Sellers. You heard about Nussmeier. Who's the best quarterback right now in the SEC?
He's at Alabama.
He might be right here in Tuscaloosa. And nobody even was mentioning him at the beginning of the year. But these other guys have not played that well. And I think this weekend, with game day being here, I think the country is going to learn about Ty Simpson a little bit this year. And I think
the injury to the kid, the quarterback, I believe that Missouri, who was so good, hurt. I think I'm right. You can correct me if I am. He felt like he was going to be the best quarterback in the league. But I'm telling you right now, people don't appreciate. They appreciate the win, but they don't appreciate it. The abilities this quarterback at Alabama had, putting them in a different set. So he put them in with all those people against you, and first time you really been into a place that really, where it was quite exciting and big and whatever you want to call it. And to do what he did and to run that team was, I think, a modern day miracle. I had a lot of respect for him because he stayed, of course, when he stayed. And took that uniform off every day, and didn't even sweat, didn't even get to play, and stayed with it all those years. Gives him a lot of respect for you and I, no doubt about it.
Yeah, he hung in there, could have easily packed up his stuff and went to him to play that way at Georgia was. Even Ryan Williams had dropped that first touchdown. You would think they still drove the ball down the field and scored in that game. We had talked about leading up to the game, maybe Georgia needed to do something different. They couldn't just do the same old thing, and I'm not so sure they just didn't do the same old thing. I saw Alabama had a lot of wrinkles offensively that kept drives going. with the on the offensive side, and I'm not sure Kirby and them changed anything. I think they may be a little bit too stubborn over there about their way and the way they play, and because Alabama certainly had their number. I didn't feel like they could play them the same way they've been playing them all the years, but I couldn't tell a big difference in how they played Alabama. Could you?
No, not really. I thought the interesting thing to me, and I'm not knocking anybody because he lives over my neighborhood, was for the defense coordinator at Alabama to point to himself and say to the head coach, that one's on me. And the head coach turned to him. The camera was on him. The head coach turned to him and had a few questions to ask him. But he had adjusted the defense, secondary, so forth, whatever he did. And they threw the long pass for the touchdown. And, you know, when you have one of your coordinators say, that one's on me, especially defensively, it bites you in the fanny because we don't know who's going to win that game. And that's big. We had two situations where Williams dropped a long pass that was a touchdown, and we also had a situation that bounced that off when Georgia dropped a pass that would have given them a touchdown. So both teams were even there as far as you and I thought maybe in Georgia would – might play, try to play fast or do something a little different. They didn't. So it's going to be interesting to see if you can get ready. You think about it, I've been in the league before you were born, and this game day thing comes up. If you would say the game day one day is going to be Vanderbilt and Alabama, I mean, you'd laugh.
Yeah.
But that'd be a joke. But to think that this kid has come in there, the head coach at Vanderbilt has swallowed his ego, and he's brought this kid in, the offensive coordinator in, and the head coach in, all three. We don't talk about the other two. That's all we talk about is the quarterback. But those three guys together have planned and done what they need to do, and he felt like that was the best way for him to have a chance to win. Vanderbilt let him do it. And you got to give him a lot of credit. He's almost coach of the year every year for what he's done.
Yeah, we'll see if Vanderbilt can hold on to him. When a guy's that successful at Vanderbilt, then people come after your coach. Maybe times will change with the NIL and all that, and they'll be able to hold on to him. I'm not sure what job's opening that would – and of course, if you look at Clark Lee's record, his overall record is not very good, but he has it going right now, and he's got a quarterback, Diego Pavia, that it's quite. He really shouldn't be eligible. Let's be honest. The fact that they gave him another year is, I mean, he's already played all his years, and that the NCAA went back and gave him another year. It's almost silly, but hey, good for him. He took it to court and he won. So, all right, we'll take the break here. We'll get the phone lines when we get back. 205-342-9904. If you're looking to make that move, that local move, out of town, out of state, you need stuff moved around the house to get ready for the holiday season that's coming up. You got Halloween, then before you know it, Thanksgiving will be here. So you may need 2 men in a truck. So if you need them, call them up. They'll make moving stress-free for you. So give them a call today. Whether it's a local, out of town, out of state, 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need. Give them a call today for the free estimate. It's 205-247-5050. That is 2 men in a truck. Movers who care.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Tuesday morning. The Tuscaloosa Police Department's Traffic Homicide Division still investigating a crash that left a pedestrian with life-threatening injuries. The incident occurred when a 34-year-old woman was struck while crossing Greensboro Avenue. The driver, identified as 44-year-old Granville Jermaine Hardy, has been arrested, charged with leaving the scene of an accident with injuries. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather throughout the day. It's free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. And inside your prime time, we are starting to thicken up a bit on 43, usual spot on the southbound lanes to McFarland. And so, therefore, you've got a little bit of a backup to Smith Street. It's temporary. Just stop.
And freshly prepared pico de gallo. Try it today at a participating U.S. Taco Bell location while supplies last. Contact store for participation, which varies.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside
options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. HIMS.com/RADIO.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny today. Just a small chance of a shower this afternoon or this evening. The high today 86, the low tonight 66. Tomorrow partly sunny. The chance of a shower stays very small. The high 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 63 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports. 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. To the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Philip?
Well, good morning. How you doing?
Good.
How are you? I'm fine. I'm kind of looking for a high-scoring ball game. It's sort of got a Texas A&M Manziel type feel to it. Do y'all sort of feel that same thing?
Funny you say that. I keep seeing on social media that Manziel's going to be in town this weekend. He's going to be on the Vanderbilt sideline and be out at two dimes. I don't know what Johnny Manziel's going to be doing in town, but supposedly Pavia likes Manziel because they play a lot of life. I don't know why that would make him be here and be on the sideline, but that's supposedly the rumor going around. But I could see it. I could see it being high scoring. I think Vanderbilt moves the football. Alabama is very confident offensively, so I could certainly see that. Let me see here. Real quick, what Vegas has got the over under it? They've got it at 56.5, so that's a pretty good number there. So they think it's going to be high scoring too.
Yeah, we're Vandy's second in the league, averaging 49 points a game. We're sixth at 38 points. Defensively, Alabama's seventh in the league, giving up 16 points a game, and they're eighth. They're giving up about 17. Now, neither team's got a rusher in the top 10 in the league. Receiving-wise, let's talk about passing first. Pavia is rated sixth in the league. Simpson third in the league in passing. Receiving, Vandy doesn't have anybody in the top 10 in receiving. Alabama's got Ryan Williams at number five, averaging 79 yards a game, and Jeremy Bernard in sixth in the league, averaging 77 yards a game.
Yeah, I'm looking here. Pavia's thrown for over 1,200 yards, 13 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. Obviously, Ty Simpson. Alabama's not, knock on wood, does not have a turnover this year. Now, that's pretty good there, Philip. No turnovers whatsoever. And I don't think Ty's had one even close to being picked off, and they hadn't laid one on the ground running back-wise either. So That's obviously you play mistake free football. You always give yourself a chance.
Yeah, that's gonna be a key going into the game this weekend is protecting the football. I guess they've been tested a little bit. They played Virginia Tech already, and they played South Carolina. Of course, we played Florida State, Wisconsin, and Georgia. So there's the way that stacks up, but. It's going to be an exciting day. Just another huge game for Alabama. It doesn't ever let up, does it, Barry?
No, it doesn't. And I'm excited to see Vanderbilt playing well. I didn't agree with Pavia getting the year back, but if it made them have this year, then it's kind of worth it. It kind of makes it fun to kind of see how far this Vanderbilt team can go. Pavia's, he's an interesting dude, isn't he, Philip?
He is, and I told you yesterday, I think Georgia, from top to bottom, they probably got the most stacked roster in the league. But I think in some aspects, I think Vanderbilt may be better in several things, in several categories than what Georgia is. And I do agree with you, Barry. I think Alabama, in the off week, I think it's fair to say they prepared pretty doggone hard, because there have been some wrinkles we've seen throughout the year, especially with the linemen going in motion. That was not new. But, you know, Alabama's continued that. They like that play. Alabama likes that play. I wouldn't even call that a gadget anymore. That's something we like. But I like the little pitch back to Jeremy Bernard and the little pass that he made. And I'll tell you, I think Bernard is a great running back.
Yeah.
He can sniff out the end zone.
Yeah. All right, help Dad and I. We don't know. Who's the best team in the SEC, Philip?
I'm going to tell you guys. I don't know. I would probably say Ole Miss right now.
Yeah.
I would go that route. I think Alabama definitely is – their trajectory has gone up. The defense is – you know, definitely got some things they need to address, but part of Alabama's problem is something they can't help, and that's the doggone injuries.
Yeah.
You know, you've got several guys that are out for the year, and we're not even into the halfway point yet. We're about to be, but that right there is the disturbing thing. But Alabama has had some guys that stepped up this past week. Eldrick Hill, he'll be starting for James Smith, who got tossed that egregious targeting call they made on him. But what the problem is the backups to those guys that stepped in to replace the starters. Wimp's talked about this a lot. You just can't give that enough importance, because they're not growing these guys on the sidelines. It is what it is. You have what you have. And if people say, well, they'll just reach in and get another one, well, at some point, there's not another one.
Yeah, I want to ask y'all this, Dad. You answer this as well. Should the Auburn fan be mad with Gus Malzahn that they've lost two road games? Oklahoma, who's ranked 13, and Texas A&M, who's ranked 5. They lost 24-17 and 16-10. They lost 2 one-score games on the road. Now, I don't know how many teams in the country could go to Oklahoma and A&M and win. So, I think sometimes when you play these, they forget who you're playing. Well, you still got to find a way to win. I get all that. But should the Auburn fan be upset with Hugh Freeze and these guys, or should they be optimistic about how far they've come?
Well, yeah. my answer was they shouldn't be mad, but they're disappointed.
Yeah.
I think there's a difference in mad and disappointed. I think if you look at the overall records that's been there, it's disappointing. Are you mad? Almost, but not, you're disappointed, and you've got to see what season is going to bring you the rest of the year.
Phil, what do you think?
We would be mad.
Yeah, but our program's at a higher level than theirs right now.
That's right. I think them scoring 10 points against Texas A&M, I think that's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's a tough pill to swallow. But I will say that. You talk about two difficult road games back-to-back. I mean, that would just be exhausting, not only from a mental standpoint, preparation-wise, but that's an exhausting physical feat to me to have to do that back-to-back.
Yeah, and then they got Georgia next.
Sure do.
Yeah. Thank you, Philip.
Yeah, well, thank y'all. And look, hey, let me tell you something. I don't think Kentucky's very good, but watch Georgia struggle this weekend with Kentucky.
No, yeah, could do it. Thank you, buddy.
Thank y'all.
All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom. Morning, Bear. How are y'all this morning?
We're all right. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Tom.
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. let me ask you this. Dabo and his experiment is failing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we discussed at the beginning of the season, everybody kind of hoped it would work.
Yeah.
Because he didn't cave in to the pressures of NIL and transfer portal.
Right.
And I'm with
do what, Tom?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I'm listening.
Well, anyway, I'm disappointed that it didn't work. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
And you know, and I wonder if it's going to cost him his job. I don't know that it will, but I wonder if it will. But he's been successful. But, you know, when you project forward, you go, I don't know if we can do this with him or not.
If I were Dabo, I probably would leave. I think he's done so much there, and now the fans are kind of tired of him a little bit. Now, he could stay probably as long as he wants, but I might go to Florida or something like that and try to start it over again. I think sometimes you stay too long, they get tired of you. I would tell my agent, hey, look at some of these jobs, see how much NIL money they got. I'm talking about one of these top jobs. If I were Dabo, I might look at getting out of there. Dad, your thoughts on that?
I wouldn't leave. I think he lands that school. It gets mad at you, but all you got to do is get it back up. You know, he's already said he lost on the last play of two of the games. His players aren't good enough. Is that what you're saying?
He's just saying that they didn't really go the portal route. They didn't really.
My question to you is are the players caused that because you got drop down players, Tom?
Well, Tom, no, he said, yeah. And y'all hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah.
He said that this was his strategy. And he was going to show loyalty to the players, and they were showing loyalty to him. And, you know, we were all pulling for that to be successful because it was completely opposite of everything else that we were seeing on the landscape of college football. And now it's like it's kind of blowing up on him. And right. I agree with Barry. I think he's run his course there. No hard feelings. But we all need something new.
I don't think he has. I don't think anybody's going to hire him to start with. They're not going to hire him at Florida. If he's got that mentality, Florida's not going to hire him. I think he stays where he. I think he stays. I disagree with both of them.
Depending on Florida could get. Who's Florida going to get? If you could hire somebody that you could,
they're not going after him.
You're not going to get Lane Kiffin. So who are you going to get?
They're not going after Dabo.
Okay, I'm going to say, who are you going to get in Florida?
Well, I don't know. I think the pool is so small of coaches that can manage this stuff in college football. I think it's very small who can manage it and be successful.
Well, it's small.
Both of you have to understand that you go through times where you gamble somewhat and take an assistant coach. You take somebody from Georgia, somebody from Texas that you know, there are times that you never, and right now is the time. We get on this show, we don't think about that. We think about all head coaches, and that's rightly so. But then we turn around and say it's not me that will take it. You have to know what you're doing. You have to gamble, so to speak, take an assistant coach. But that's worked a long time.
Yeah, but I don't know that Florida thinks they went the big route with Napier. You know, they went and got him at Louisiana Lafayette. I don't know who they could get.
Is Napier going to get fired?
I mean, probably.
Yeah, it is. He's gone. I believe.
Yeah.
Who's Arkansas going to get? Are they going to go after Gus?
If Bobby's fired three of them, and he's 3-3 dipping.
Surely not.
Crap. He had the offense. He's a dang good play caller. He's the best.
I heard they want the guy.
They are not going to be able to handle those pictures of that motorcycle wreck with that neck brace on. I'm telling you, he's not going to be the head coach.
They want that guy from SMU.
Now, I wouldn't doubt it. What about the guy at Texas San Antonio? That's a great coach right there.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, he shouldn't be considered because of that mistake.
No, you can't handle the publicity. That's what I'm talking about. He will get hammered. Every time they go to a business stadium, they're going to be holding pictures up of a blame motorcycle. I'm telling you.
They're going to be doing that now.
If he wins in this next 2 months,
he'll get the job.
With no staff, fired everybody yesterday.
He fired
the defensive people, Tom.
He sure did, and we need to do the same thing. But I wanted to ask y'all this. I want to change gears. If our defense doesn't show significant improvement, we got lucky. Yeah, go ahead and admit it. We were just plain lucky against Georgia. They ran for 270-something yards. Coach Saban said it's impossible for somebody to lose the possession of time game running for 270-something yards. Well, you know why that happened? Because we're like a damn sieve, and they ran through us like sauce through a widow woman. And if we don't show some significant improvement on defense, I would fire that whole bunch Monday morning. And they're going to fire Greg Schiano at Rutgers. I would hire him for my defensive coordinator.
Yeah. I think Arkansas, they threw this guy out there, Tom, and they can kind of get through all the stuff that you're talking about, holding the motorcycle up and all. And if he doesn't win, he's out. If he wins, they would have already gone through all that. And they're going to keep him.
No, he's gone.
Now, he may not can win.
He will not be the head coach.
Well, then you're saying he's not going to win then.
The athletic director was on there yesterday saying, you know, the reason they weren't winning because they didn't have no money.
That's what he said?
Yeah, he said Coach Pittman didn't have a chance because of that lack of money in the NIL. I go, bull. That can't be.
You got to go beg for it.
I wonder if that guy from Memphis doesn't punch that ball out and he loses to Memphis. They should not have lost to Memphis. Would he still have his job?
That's right. Yeah.
That guy punching the ball out cost him his job.
Well, I mean, he was on thin ice.
I'm saying he got it done this quick.
It finalized it. You're right. I think you're right.
Yeah.
But what do y'all think about my strategy on Schiano when Rutgers fires him? I would go get him right now. I would write him a letter today saying, if they fire you, you can come to Tuscaloosa as a defensive coordinator today.
Whenever they fire you,
if we give up 200 yards to
Vanderbilt,
I would fire that damn bunch.
So you're not happy about
it. Have you been down there to see that defensive coordinator that lives two houses down from you?
But, Tom, if I would have told you before the Georgia game, we're going to hold them to 21 points, would you have taken it?
Yeah.
All right.
No, I didn't think we had a chance. I came on here and said Alabama's not man enough to beat Georgia. And the offense proved me to be a liar.
Yeah.
But if it hadn't been for Ty Simpson, we would not have won that game.
Yeah. Well,
if it hadn't been for Kirby Smart, Georgia wouldn't have won the game. If they'd have kicked the field goal, they might have won it in overtime.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. I agree with that too. But I'll tell y'all something. Do you agree with this, Coach and Barry? I say we were just plain lucky to win that game.
Well, you gotta have some luck. That's part of it.
I did a lot.
Hey, Tom, was Georgia lucky to beat Tennessee?
Darn right.
No, I actually think that defense that Tennessee was running went right in the quarterback. What's his name from Georgia that I like so much? They went right in his wheelhouse.
I mean, Tennessee's lined up to kick a 40-yard field goal to win the game, and the guy misses it.
I agree.
That's luck, right?
That's what I was going to say 40 times. Tom, we got to know that. That was one piece of luck.
That was the most important piece of luck.
Hey, that was a pretty big piece.
The guy makes the field goal, you lose.
That's one piece of luck. You got to admit,
I was
with four quarters of luck.
Well, that guy, nobody talks about that guy from Georgia dropping that touchdown. He hit him in a bad spot.
Oh, you're right.
Right in the hands.
That's another four quarters of luck.
There we go. Thank you, Tom.
All right.
Thanks,
Tom.
See y'all.
All right, guys, we got a big deal coming up this Thursday. Chase, you're going to have to help me with it, but my guys – Sharon out at Thomas Rib Shack. Go to the website, thomasribshack.com. You can look at all the food they got there. Oh, my gosh, the soul food, the ribs, the barbecue. But this Thursday, we're going to give away the tailgate giveaway from Thomas Rib Shack. They're giving this away. We'll have a trivia question, let you answer it. Then we'll have a drawing for this weekend. You're going to get two slabs of ribs. Woo! 2 pounds of pork, 2 family sides, peach cobbler, and a gallon of sweet tea. Your sides could be fried okra, French fries, potato salad, or mac and cheese.
I want double fried okra
for you. We might let you answer the trivia question. We'll throw your name in the hat as well. So this Thursday, the Thomas Rib Shack giveaway is going to happen, and man, you're going to be happy. But get by there today. Swing by there for lunch. They're open at 10:30. You go in there and get you some hot vegetables, and you pick out a meat. You got some baked chicken. You got pork chops. You got fish. You got ribs, barbecue, whatever you want. Thomas Rib Shack is the place to go. So it's right there on 15th Street as you're headed. If you're going past Central, and you keep going out past downtown, it's right up there on the left, and you'll see it, and these guys will take great care of you. All right, if you also want some catering for the football game this weekend, then you just dial them up. They'll have everything ready for you to come pick up. But stay tuned for this tailgate giveaway from Thomas Rib Shack. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on Vanderbilt at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football. Presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Ongoing road construction and active on east and westbound 2059 at University Boulevard, also at Joe Malisham, but you don't have the delays. Now, where you do have a slight delay, it's going to be on 43 southbound onto McFarland, and that's not unusual, but you do have a pretty...
Call now, 800-601-7780, 800-601-7780.
Must qualify for enrollment. Results may vary.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
9904. If you want to jump in with us this morning. As far as today, baseball, the wild card games, I guess, it's best 2 out of 3. These deals can go fast. The Tigers will take on the Guardians. That's at noon. So if you want to watch some noon baseball, Dad's Guardians / Indians will be playing the Tigers. That'll be on ESPN. ABC, 2 o'clock, the Padres and the Cubs. Chicago Cubs. Tonight, 5 o'clock. Wow, a great one. The Red Sox and the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. So that's obviously a good one. And then tonight, if you can stay up, 8 o'clock, the Reds and the Dodgers will play. Game 2 will be tomorrow, and then the if necessary games will be on Thursday. Otherwise, they'll move on to the next round. So you play 162 games. You got 2 games here in these first round to advance. Obviously, the Phillies and these guys will be waiting. Phillies, Toronto. Oh, heck, who else is it? I can't even remember who else got the number one seeds there. Toronto, Seattle got the bye. Philadelphia and the Brewers, the Milwaukee Brewers.
So what time the Braves play?
The Braves, I don't know. The Braves, what time's that Braves game today? I asked Jenny that last night. It doesn't matter. If the Braves were in the playoffs, they'd lose. So they're never good in the playoffs anyway. All right, let's play Kalen DeBoer right after the game real fast. We'll hear a little bit what he had to say. He had a press conference yesterday. And one of the ladies questioned yesterday, I was listening to it, was wanting to know, was he going to wear the black pullover? Really? Really? That's a question, really. And he said, I get it. I would have snapped if I were Kalen DeBoer about the black. Guys, get off the black pullover. Who cares if he wears the black pullover? Chase, does the black pullover bother you that Kalen DeBoer wears? Not a great-looking pullover, but who cares if he's wearing a...
They got mad when didn't wear a plaid sports coat.
Who cares if the guy's got on a black pullover? Do you care, Chase?
No, not really. I just wanted to win games.
Did you hear me, Barry?
Yeah, well, they got mad when you what?
When I didn't wear a plaid sport coat.
Oh, really? Well, they got mad when you took it off and threw it. All right, here's the opening statement from Kalen DeBoer.
You're right. Yeah, you bet. Just a great team win for our guys. Credit to Georgia. They're a great team. And just proud of the way our guys came out and fought. You know, just you can't overstate like what our guys have just been doing as far as just every day trying to get better, and you know, that's what it's about. They just, you know, were focused and knew they were going to have to play 4 quarters, and it took every second of it. And so again, finding a way to win first half, a lot of conversions, especially on third down, got off the field, and then turned into a fist fight in the second half. And defense standing in there, getting a big fourth down stop, that was big. But it's another step in the right direction for our team. I know that they're already talking, you know, they're not done with their improvement. They've really been focusing on that. They've been focusing on us. That's, I think, the key, is not getting caught up in anything else other than what we can control. And I'm super proud of them for that.
Now,
Barry, tell our listeners who is going to win the Vanderbilt Alabama game. No line in that.
Alabama. Okay. Who do you think?
I think Alabama. You thought Vanderbilt.
No.
You think because it's home, there's not a home field advantage in Alabama.
Yes, there is.
There's not. Very, very limited.
I mean, there is. If it's a tight game, now it's a blowout, they're going to get out of there. I'm talking about Alabama.
It's not like there's a home field advantage at Auburn.
If Auburn were here, it'd be a home field advantage for Auburn. But it depends on the opponent and how the game's going.
To some degree, not totally, a little bit.
Yeah. If you're a coach, see, everybody always thought that Coach Saban was going to kill his team after a loss. And that's when he was nice to him. It was after a win, when everybody was patting him on the back, that's when he would get after them. I don't know if that is this coach's staff's philosophy as well. After a big win, we got to nail them because everybody's telling them how great they are. What do you think this coaching staff's philosophy is?
Probably not that.
Yeah.
But I think that's the way I did that myself. I tried to reason with them in a negative way after a win. And what if the, you know, if we fall on our face now after what we've done. They may do a little bit of that, but being real, real negative, I don't think so. I don't think this staff will be that way.
Well, you know, I think that was, of course, did they learn from last year that?
I think what they've done, Barry, on this team is they put in a lot of new sets offensively, and they've got a quarterback. Is smart, not a smart egg, but smart. And I think the sets that he put in, you can say about the, you know, you're about the past, the big guy is funny and all that kind of crap. But I think there are a lot of different sets that they put in and added to. And I think Grubb has done a really good job of doing different things with his team that haven't been done before. Is the running game great? No, not yet. But it's better. It's getting better every time. And the passing game is absolutely terrific, I think, as long as the offensive line, you got to stay on the offensive line all the time to do what they need to do. You're not going to be good back there. But I think putting in the different offensive sets has been big for Alabama, personally.
Well, this game's at home. Last year, Alabama beat Georgia 41-34. Next week, went to Vanderbilt and lost 40-35. Do you talk to your team about that?
Yeah, I probably do. Yeah, I'm not going to put up with what happened to us last year. We're pretty good right now in your mind, but we're not any good at all in your mind at all if we let this one get by us. This game is as big as the Georgia game, bigger than the Georgia game because it's the next one. And guess what? It counts the same, yeah. One win or one loss.
Yeah, in some sense, it is bigger. When you start winning, each game gets bigger. Yeah. So in some sense it is, and it's a home game. You can't afford to lose. All right, we'll take this top of the hour break, open the phone lines. Roman Harper will be with us at 8:15. Roman will probably be at the barber. Every time we talk to Roman, he's getting his hair cut.
Glad socks.
The guy gets his hair cut more than anybody I've ever seen in my life. You listen to Tide 100.9, 12:30 a.m. WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we're going to talk Alabama Vanderbilt. We'll do it with Mike Tatilier. We'll take your scores on a Southern Owl House score prediction day. We'll talk to Hugh Millen, former NFL quarterback. He's going to share some thoughts on this Alabama offense and a lot more. Starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Ongoing road construction and active on east and westbound 2059 at University Boulevard. Also at Joe Malisham, but you don't have the delays. Now, where you do have a slight delay, it's going to be on 43 southbound onto McFarland, and that's not unusual, but you do have a pretty...
Ooh, you smell amazing, James.
Oh, thanks, Mom. I love you, too.
Mm-mm, I never said that.
Add Gain Scent Boosters to your laundry. Add joy to your day.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles,
Here's Steve DeSager.
There were two NFL games on Monday night at Miami in a battle of 0-3 teams. The Dolphins defeated the Jets 27-21. The Jets had three fumbles, 13 penalties. Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill was carted off with a dislocated knee. Denver ripped Cincinnati 28-3. Bo Nix, three total touchdowns. The Bengals on the first drive of the night kicked a short field goal. After that, nine drives, five first downs, under 100 yards of offense. J.K. Dobbins of the Broncos, 16 carries, 101 yards rushing. Giants wide receiver Malik Nabers is out for the year with a torn ACL. Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy will not return. He's been offered an advisory role, but there's an opening in San Francisco. The Giants fired manager Bob Melvin. The Minnesota Twins fired manager Rocco Baldelli after 7 years there. The Mets' Carlos Mendoza will return. Reportedly, Arizona is keeping manager Torey Lovello.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny today. Just a small chance of a shower this afternoon or this evening. The high today 86, the low tonight 66. Tomorrow partly sunny. The chance of a shower stays very small. The high 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 62 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room
with legendary Alabama basketball head coach
Wim Sanderson
and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach
Barry Sanderson,
a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience,
breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics
with the insight only two coaches can bring.
From the hardwood
to the gridiron.
From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium.
If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports,
you'll hear it here first.
With analysis, opinion,
and straight talk that cuts through the noise.
Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m.
on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC.
This is where champions get their day started.
This is Inside the Locker Room
with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to the second hour of Inside the Locker Room, Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to the website, TuscaloosaToyota.com. I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at a beautiful Toyota Tundra. 1.99% APR for the first 72 months. What a gorgeous truck that is. If you're looking for a vehicle, a car, the 2025 Camry, 3.75 for the first 36 months. Everybody loves a Camry. Great truck options, great SUV. Got the RAV4 over there as a hot-selling vehicle. So if you want to look at the new inventory, pre-owned, schedule a service, rent a Toyota, do it right there at the website, TuscaloosaToyota.com. Or swing by 3325 Skyland Boulevard, the best car dealer in the area, not even close. Find Justin. He'll take great care of you and tell him that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right. Alabama, they practice on Sundays. They take Monday off, so they were off yesterday. What needs to happen today? Those guys are over there in facility this morning to kind of get put that Georgia game behind you. I guess sometimes you say, hey, you got 24 hours to enjoy it. They normally get back to the practice field on Sunday, which is kind of tough. You take that trip back on a Saturday night. I don't know what you get out of maybe film and whatever, but they got to put that Georgia win behind them, right, and start focusing on Vanderbilt and having their individual meetings about position groups. They got some injuries now, so some guys are going to get some opportunities to come in and play a different role, maybe start. Quay Rousseau is out, and so they've lost some guys there. It's just your thoughts about what they do today.
Well, I think they first of all, they go over exactly what Vanderbilt likes to do on what downs. They've got a chart. They've already fixed a chart showing that Vanderbilt does such and such on the second and third downs. They try to run this or that the yardage, you know, based on the yardage being 4 yards or 6 yards for a first down. And I think they really work hard with their pass defense. I think they do a good job of being sure the right guys are going to be playing. They're going to be out there. They're going to walk through it today. I go through it live, a little bit halfway live, so that the defensive backs are turning the right way and knowing exactly how to read the eyes of the quarterback as well as the defense up front, the line. I think that's going to be the critical part. I think Alabama offensively will be good enough to score some points and maybe a lot of points. But certainly you don't want to get into a game where you have to outscore them to beat them. You want to be able to score and have that score stand up for a while. So I think they work really hard defensively with the team. And I think for one time, this is when the head coach goes to the defensive end of the floor, or whatever they're going to do, of the field, and be darn sure that he and the head coach, the defense coordinator, are on the same page. He hired him. He's worked with him before. And both of them know what Vanderbilt likes to do. And that's my opinion. That's what they would do today.
Man, you put so much work into Georgia. You had an extra week to kind of add some wrinkles, add a play or two there. You don't have as much time when you're getting ready for Vanderbilt. And they weren't worried about Vanderbilt as they were getting ready for Georgia. So maybe they have some other wrinkles in the playbook. I thought some of the play calls that Grubb made were timely, to get first downs. That one they got to end the game with the throw to Jam Miller there was terrific. They only played two running backs in the game. And when you start to play these SEC games, your bench shrinks, doesn't it? You don't play as many guys as you play against even Wisconsin or Louisiana, Monroe, who are there. Your bench starts to shrink. So you also have to handle your players that aren't playing. You got some talented quarterbacks there that hadn't seen the field now, and Ty secured this position. So other than the injury, so you got to make sure those guys are getting good reps in practice, because you never know, they're always one play away. But it's also difficult.
Tell them that, Barry. Yeah, I agree. But to be quite honest with you, the quarterback situation is good and it's bad. It's good in that you've got somebody who's stepped forward, who has shown he's the best in the best situations. You've got two guys that are like Ty was for 2 years. They're just like, they're exactly like he was, because they're not getting in the game. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. There's always a decision to make of a substitute should he get hurt. Now, which one of those guys is going to be Russell or the kid from Washington? So when you make that substitution, it leaves that guy that is not playing lonely. He's not only lonely with himself, but he's lonely with his parents. He's lonely with everybody. And it's difficult. It's hard. Ty's been through it. And to me, that's a scary situation for Alabama. The other players I don't know as much about, but I think you try to be as positive as you can, and the perfect thing would be to get both of them in a game. You say that's crazy, but to be ready to play for both of them, and if you have a chance, if you have a 25-7 lead, that you get both of them in the game, and you probably don't tell them, but you do everything you possibly can to keep them, and that's not easy.
Yeah, just and they look at these other kids at other schools and defensive backs starting at other schools, and so that's just part of what you have to deal with during this era of college football. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll get to Roman Harper when we get back to break. We always enjoy having Roman on. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Significant delays in Northport right now. 69 southbound onto Union Chapel Road. Looks like we do have a crash. It's got traffic very tight. Your brake lit well past Charlie Shirley Road. And it's also causing major slow-ups on Union Chapel, both east and westbound hookups to 69. And then as you move along...
Those who put everything on the line for us.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports and it's brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane, the best pregame fan fest in college football. Visit championslane.com for updates throughout the season. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. On Tuesday's edition of Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, we'll be joined by Alabama wide receiver Rico Scott.
Ty's been great. I mean, all three quarterbacks, really. We've, as far as the quarterback and receiver room, we've kind of been getting together every week since January, and I mean, it's just continued to build. You see, like, Saturday, the type of things that Ty brings to the table.
And we also see it with Austin Mack, Keelan Russell, and he got to play. Is it exciting to see them get some opportunities to play and show Alabama fans what they can do?
Yeah, it's exciting because you see it in practice, but it's like, you know, quarterback, usually one guy plays. So it was like, I mean, for me, I was here with Mack last year, but then seeing Keelan, like, when he threw that first touchdown, like, it put a smile on my face for sure.
And what did Ty do to really earn the job? And you got to see all of it throughout the preseason camp.
You know, Ty just does a great job at taking care of the ball. You know, he's a great leader. He's a guy where, you know, it was the fourth quarter of the Florida State game. We had to get a first down or whatever. He's coming in the huddle. He's like, guys, you know what I mean? That's what we want. This is what we've been waiting for.
I'll have more in a moment.
Tide fans, are you ready for game day in Tuscaloosa? Don't miss the ultimate pregame experience this season at Vector Security Champions Lane. Opening 4 hours before each home game, this fan fest has everything you need to get pumped for kickoff. Located next to the Walk of Champions, you'll enjoy live music, player autographs, the best food trucks from all over Alabama, and ice cold beer in our Legends Lounge beer garden, where there's never a cover charge. Check out championslane.com each week for the latest updates. Roll Tide!
If you missed last night's edition of Crimson Tide Rewind, catch it on demand on the Alabama Insider Podcast, as well as a video replay on the CTSN YouTube page. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
The locker room. I get right to the Yellowwood hotline. He's obviously a great player here at Alabama, a long career in the NFL. Now he's a star. He's a TV star on SEC Network and ESPN. Yeah. Don't you think he's a star?
I don't know. What kind of socks you got on?
I don't know. I bet he's just got a haircut, though. Good morning, Roman Harper. Good morning, Roman. How are you?
Morning, guys. Morning, Barry. Morning, Coach Wimp. How are you guys doing?
I didn't know you were a star.
I'll be honest. I met this kid this past weekend in Athens, Georgia. He's a TikTok sensation on Instagram. He's got over 1.5 million followers. His name is The Riz or Rizzler. He, like, does this little face. He's 9 years old. This kid is a superstar.
Yeah.
I was on campus doing a little special with this kid. All these, like, crazy college – it was like 50 college kids following us around like he was the Messiah. I'm telling you, this is a superstar.
How many followers? I don't get any of that. How many followers he got?
Over 1.5.
So he's making some cash then.
Yes, trust me. Yeah. I can tell by the team around him. He's sponsored by – not Uber Eats. What's the other people that drop your
DoorDash?
DoorDash. Yes. He's sponsored by DoorDash. So the kid's eating good. And It's just crazy. He has a whole team.
Speaking of DoorDash, Roman, I was over.
He's got a manager.
I was over.
Got a lot.
I was over at Dad's last night, me and my wife. And I said, "What are you eating for dinner?" And he said, "Well," I had gotten him some ribs like 10 days ago. He said, "Well, I got one rib left, and I got two onion rings left from Friday." I said, "That's what you're going to eat for dinner?" And he said, "Yeah, I'll be all right." And Jenny's like, "No way." So we door-dashed him some Baumhauer's wings. So,
that was very nice. I appreciate it.
He's going to eat a 9-day-old rib and two onion rings. That sounds like a college student, Roman.
One rib.
One 9-day-old rib.
Got a little flavor.
Okay, all right, Roman. Yeah, I got two questions
for you.
One at a time. All right. And now that Alabama has beaten Georgia, tell me what Alabama needs to work on to be better. That's the first question. Go ahead.
Okay, well, they need to work on continued execution. So I thought they had a great game plan offensively. They really out-executed Georgia early. They did some great things. They were able to run the football effective enough. And they allowed Ty Simpson to get comfortable early. That was all fantastic. They blocked well up front, had some really good pockets. They didn't run block traditionally great, but it's hard for anybody to run block good against Georgia. They're that good. They're that big. They just have specimen up front. And so, but defensively, I think the eye discipline still has to get there. Like, they're not good eye discipline wise as far as like where your eyes tell you need to be in the secondary, you know, reacting to run when it shows up, being gap sound. If one guy goes this way, who's going with him? And then when he leaves, where my eyes or my run gaps of responsibility supposed to be? When we're blitzing a corner, all right, we have a linebacker away from the blitz. You know, defensive mentality in terms is that whenever you have a free rusher or a free blitzer from an edge, if the running back or the run goes away from that, you got to send it back to the blitzer because ultimately he is the free person. And so those type of run fits and things like that. Like, Georgia ran the ball for 200-plus yards on Alabama, and probably 130 of it was Alabama's fault. And so you got to get those things cleaned up. I love that they didn't have a lot of pre-snap penalties offensively. That allowed them to stay ahead of the chain, right? Where last year in some of these big games, it was the opposite. Too many pre-snap penalties. You're setting yourself up for failure. You don't have a good game plan going forward. So, for me, it's going to go back to the defensive side that – they got to be continue to be more disciplined. They need to make more plays. Their eyes got to be better. But them creating turnovers helped. And ultimately, they got lucky a couple times, too. Like when they stopped Cash Jones inside the red zone, on the low red zone, that was all luck. They didn't even have enough guys set up over there to stop that play.
That's really a great answer. Now, get this answer. You ready?
Okay.
Get this answer.
You are the daddy.
Uh-huh.
You are the daddy of one of the second string quarterbacks. He comes to you after the game. He says, "I'm never going to be able to play here. I think I ought to transfer." You are the daddy. What do you say?
I would say, well, how many more years do you have? That matters. And the other thing is, I'm like, well, it seems like it's working pretty well for this quarterback that's starting right now for Alabama. If my quarterback's the backup at Alabama. Look, you don't have to be great for a long time. You just got to be great for right now. And so you got to understand it takes work. It takes time. And ultimately, is my son ready to be the starting quarterback? Because it does you no good to get the opportunity and you blow it. So you got to be ready for this opportunity. It's not just talking about it, but being about it. And so you got to earn the right.
Very hard question. Very hard question.
Yeah. It is a hard question, but if my son tells me that, I got to know if my son's actually ready to go be a starter somewhere. And then, all right, if that's the case, all right, let's start to figure these things out. But I like something about sticking to it. And that sometimes you got to fail first. Like, not enough parents allow their kids to fail. Like, I'm going through this really right now, Coach. with my oldest daughter. You know, she's playing basketball, but she doesn't have the mentality at times that you need to be successful in sports. And so how do I change that part of it? And so without just telling her and trying to, you know, force feed it to her through spoon feeding her, like sometimes she gets the need to just get knocked on her butt. And I'm tired of driving all over these places. I need to just go over here, drop her a freaking bike off, and let her find her way back home. Like, that's where I'm at with it. And I think more and more kids need to learn how to fail.
That is so interesting.
It changes the mentality when you fail. Like, because you know, like, whatever I was doing was not good enough. So what are you going to do about it? You know, like, to me, that's what I'm like. Because that was the same answer I had to ask myself. And I had to figure out the answer to that question all the time was, okay, that didn't work. So what are you going to do about it? And I'm not just going to stay there. So I started to progress and change. And so to me, that's exactly where I'm at right now with my daughter. So I'm in the place of let them fail.
I like it.
Good,
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. If you're Alabama's coaching staff, how do you treat the players today? They had practice Sunday. I don't know what they could have done Sunday. Watch them film and walk around a little bit. They take Monday off. They're going to walk in there today. Now, if it were Nick Saban after a win, that's when he would crack their heads. You know, the loss, he would pick them up. He'd kind of be opposite of what you think. And is that this staff's mentality? What message do they need to send to these guys now that everybody's tell them how great they are, the complete opposite of what it was after Florida State?
Number one, I'm playing Vandy home music all week long. It's mm-hmm. Vandy week. This is the state. Look, like, you better lock in and you better buckle your freaking chin straps. This is a different Vandy team mm-hmm. than they were last year. Not only that, but you beat Georgia last year. Beating Georgia's nothing. Like, that was 24, 48 hours ago. I don't care about that game anymore. I'm already moving on. So I would have cracked the whip on Sunday. I would have cracked the whip on Monday because what they did on Sunday is not good enough to beat this Vandy team. I'm telling you this, especially on the defensive side. What Vandy does offensively with this option run game, this midline, and this Diego Pavia kid who's freaking really good. He's a better quarterback than Gunnar Stockton. And so you got a better quarterback. You got a more difficult offense that you're facing because what you see against Georgia is more traditional of what you're used to seeing. Yes, they have great players, but it looks like what you're traditionally used to seeing. Vanderbilt is not the same. You got to be gap sound. You got to do your job. We didn't do our job enough defensively versus Georgia, or they wouldn't be busting off 20, 30-yard runs. And so you better be gap sound. And when you got the pitch, you better have the pitch. And when you got the A-gap, you better be in the A-gap because this offense of what Vandy does will expose you. It was the worst tackling performance of Alabama season last year. Do you want the same one? Because everybody's going to blow smoke up your skirt and tell you how great you are after you beat Georgia. But I'm telling you right now, beating Georgia is not the goal of the season. It's just a chapter on your journey of the 2025 season. And so what is it going to be? You better lock back in because Vandy is undefeated. You're not. Okay. They have a quarterback that's played way more snaps than our quarterback. And this Vandy team is different. And let me tell you something, Coach and Barry, when I knew this Vandy team was different was 2 weeks ago when they beat the brakes out of South Carolina, all right? One of their old linemen got their shirt up, their jersey up, and I saw a Vandy offensive lineman with tattoos on his stomach. I said, okay, this team is different.
Yeah, that's right.
This Vandy team is different than the rest of them. And that's why – this is a Vandy team that's putting up numbers that is generational talented at Vanderbilt, okay? They've scored 50-plus points in back-to-back week for the first time since 1950, okay? Vanderbilt is undefeated 5-0 for the first time since 1918, okay? Vanderbilt scored 70 points in a game for the first time since 1913 or 15. This team is different. A team of Vanderbilt that we have not seen since Coach Wimp's father was alive. And so this is what you're at right now. And you better watch out. And I'm telling you, the performance last week, especially in the second half, is not good enough to beat this Vanderbilt team. You better be ready because Vanderbilt, doesn't just think they can beat you. They know they can beat you now. So you got to deal with that part of it too.
Ron Williams says it's like hitting an ant with a sledgehammer playing Vandy in the offseason.
Ryan Williams better start playing.
There we go. I need him to just catch the ball.
Yeah.
And you know what? And look, and I got to be honest here, because Ryan Williams has a long way to improve. And I didn't like the 18-year-old. When I look back, I don't think I loved the 18-year-old version of myself, right? Now that I'm an adult and a man. And he would probably say the same thing in another 20 years, because the kid is just 18. So he's going to make mistakes. He has a long way to improve. But he needs to continue to play ball, because right now our best wide receiver is Jeremy Bernard, and it's not even close. Like, this kid is good. Isaiah Horton's really coming out, and you can tell he's got great chemistry with Ty Simpson. Like, that rollout to the right, and all of a sudden the wide receiver stops, goes backside a little bit more, and Ty Simpson just dimes him in the back of the end zone. This has happened multiple weeks. That means you have good chemistry. You know exactly where your wide receiver and quarterback are all on the same page, and you know exactly where each other is at. It's just good playing ball right now. And then you have the ability to now add in Ryan Williams as a third wide receiver threat. They got a lot of weapons on the outside, and that's not even a young guy, 17, and a number 11, Rico Scott. So really, really a lot of talent for this Alabama team. But can they expose Vandy? Vandy's going to keep the ball away from him, and you got to be able to threaten Vandy, because Vandy's playing some good defense right now, and they're better on the defensive side as well, especially up front. They got some difference makers.
On the positive side, this quarterback who waited his turn throws his balls in the hands of his receivers about as good as anybody I've ever seen for a young kid who's just gotten there. The sets that Alabama got in offensively were different kinds of sets, and he moved them around and got them straight. I think it was a heck of a game for him.
Oh, it was beautifully done. The cool, calm poise, like, let me tell you, when I watched him at Florida State versus Florida State, I'm watching the tape, and it looks like his heart rate was going too fast. Like, you got to be able to slow the game down for him. And so I think Ryan Grubb has figured that part out. Like, you know what? He does this, and this really well. Let's continue to do that. And so I've enjoyed watching the last couple of weeks where they come out early, they get set on the line, they see what they're in, and then they shift. Boom, big formation shift. He takes control of it, blah, 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 blah. He's got command of the offense, and then he gets them in a better set or a better play, and then they run the play. And so, to me, that's been the difference, is that they're slowing Ty Simpson's heart rate down. And because I saw him running to his left versus Florida State and throw a ball like 12 yards, and he kind of one-hopped it. That means you grip the ball too hard. You're trying to throw it too perfect. You're trying to aim it instead of just seeing it and throwing it in a relaxed position. And so that part of the game has changed. Then the 2 weeks after Florida State, he played really, really well. Then last week versus Georgia, I thought he had great command of the offense. He made some throws over the middle of the field that were NFL-ready throws. And the thing that's been biggest surprise to me is how good of an arm he has. I didn't know he had this type of velocity and touch on the ball when he needs it to, where he's able to thread the ball and layer the ball to those second-level in-cut routes over the linebacker and in front of the safeties. He's done that extremely well, and he can throw the ball. You know, that Ryan Williams throw that he dropped was 55 yards in the air, and it was very easily thrown. He didn't even look like he tried hard. So these are the things that I'm very impressed with.
We're talking with Roman Harper. Roman, obviously the NIL and portal, it's level the playing field. Like, tell me right now, who's the best team in the SEC? I don't know. Do you?
I ranked Ole Miss as my number one team yesterday, knowing that it could change and move at any time. And I don't trust Mississippi teams. So at some point they're going to blow it. So, it's so hard. I thought it was like this tiered system where it was like Texas, Alabama, Georgia, maybe LSU. And then like tier two is Ole Miss, South Carolina, Texas A&M, Florida maybe this year. And I need to blow all that up, because Missouri is a dang good team. What they do offensively with that run game, that wide zone, Bo Pribula just broke a Missouri record last week. I know it was versus a terrible UMass team, but he completed 21 passes in a row. And we didn't know that he could throw the ball like that because he was hiding behind Drew Aller, Penn State's quarterback, who actually struggled this past week. So some people benefit from the transfer portal. So it's not all negative. And it's exactly what you just said, Barry. It has completely leveled out the playing field. Missouri went and got one of the best running backs, if not the best running back. He's definitely the most productive running back in the SEC this year. Ahmad Hardy from University of Louisiana Monroe. Okay. Bring him in this outside wide zone team where he broke a ton of tackles last year. He's already breaking the most tackles in college football so far this year. He's perfect for this system. Then you bring in the quarterback that's a ball player. You bring in a couple guys on the defense. This defense is deep. They're fast. They're bigger than what you think up front. And they got a great home schedule. So that's going to be a tough game for Alabama in a couple weeks. You better focus on Vandy first. But still, that's going to be a very tough game. And Missouri's another team. Florida's not as good as we thought. South Carolina has no run game. They're not as good as we thought. Texas A&M's better than what a lot of people thought they would be. Ole Miss is a team that seemed like they lost everybody last year. And all of a sudden, this is going to be the team that does it for them. So you just don't know. LSU looks really good on paper, but their offense is not good in the game. And so I don't know, Barry, honestly. I got Ole Miss yesterday, Alabama 2, Georgia 3. I had Missouri 4, and I got Vanderbilt at 5. I got Texas at 6, and then after that I got Texas A&M. And I'm saying that knowing that Texas A&M could be better than any of those top 4 that I put in there. But I don't love Texas's offense right now. I want them to continue to prove it to me. And then with Texas A&M, they really sputter at times offensively. And so if you play against a team – and I also need Texas A&M to be better. Too many self-influenced penalties. You got to clean that part up. They had 14 penalties versus Auburn. You allowed Auburn to stay in that game when it should have been a blowout. Auburn's struggling big time right now offensively.
Earlier in the show, we talked about coaching changes in Arkansas, and they're trying to get Petrino every chance to earn the job. And
yeah, and I don't love that.
Yeah, I don't love it either. But I told Dad, I thought maybe it's time for Dabo to go somewhere else. I think sometimes they're tired of you. You've same press conferences, your style, this, that, and the other. If I were Florida, I might kick the tires on Dabo. He says, no way Dabo would leave. Do you agree? I think he should. You know, he's kind of tired of them. He's kind of calling them out. He's kind of saying, hey, if you don't like it, I'll go somewhere else. And I think he gets old at times. He may need a new start. Your thoughts about that?
I don't think your statement is wrong, Barry. But what Dabo was doing was just emotional. You know, it's like the girlfriend in college. Like, you know what? You don't want to treat me right, I'll leave. And then you're like, there's the door. And like, well, you know, you're going to miss me, and they just stay. And so it doesn't really work that way. I think Dabo has been able to build something so special at Clemson. Like, yeah. How do you go and do that again? Is he at the point in his career, in his life, personally, emotionally, like, and physically as well, to want to go and try and start all the way over again? Where, like, you literally built this one from the ground up. Clemson was a train wreck. He was just on the staff. He was the interim guy, right? he was the interim guy that they made into the guy because of something that he brought, the intangibles, and the fact that he has a personal story with just about every other recruit that's been in that program for the last 18 to 20 years. And so I think Dabo does it differently. I really think they're struggling right now as far as, like, what is their identity? Especially on the offensive side. And so, you know, tough times make better people. And so, I know it makes you tough people, that's for sure. I'm hoping it makes my daughter better. But, yeah, man, it's interesting. I don't see that happening. It'd be interesting to see how Dabo would do in the SEC. I don't think he wants to go into the SEC. Everybody just assumed that Dabo was going to be the next coach after Nick Saban for Alabama, but we all knew that boat had kind of passed, that ship had kind of passed. When he was having so much fight with the fight on the transfer portal. I don't do that. The NIL conversation. I don't want to do, you know, just so much pushback. And, you know, right now, when you take all these hard stances on so many things that a lot of people kind of disagree with you on, when you're down, you're going to get kicked, and you're going to get kicked hard. So this is what happens. And so when you lose, you allow people to be able to judge you. And this is kind of what you sign up for when you're a coach. You're either coaching it, allowing it to happen, and you stay and keep the job until you get fired. That's just kind of what the thing is. And you will get fired.
Yeah. I don't know. Go ahead, Ed.
Why don't you get your daughter a boyfriend?
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. So she's 13. And my big thing, right? Yeah. No. And my big thing is, like, here we go. Like, well, it's also what you tell me one positive that a boy is adding to your life right now. Because that's what
he's going to walk up to her and say, I'm telling you, I don't want anybody to say this, but you're the cutest person I have ever seen. I'm just crazy about you.
Yeah, that's great. And that adds zero to her life. Zero. No benefit in it, right? He ain't got no money. He ain't got no car to drive you around. He ain't got nothing. Like, it's actually.
Wait, he can't have a
nothing.
Car because he's 13. He's 13. Well,
yeah, exactly.
But maybe she needs to date a 17-year-old.
Well, see that? Yeah, he can ride a bicycle,
bro. Even worse. All they can do right now is take. They can take from you emotionally because you're not locked in on doing what you're supposed to do. They can hurt your feelings. And so, you know what I mean? Oh, maybe they make you happy, but then you worry about them talking to this one, that one, or other. I'm like, it can only negatively affect your life. And so,
well, she comes to you and she says to you, Dad, I met the cutest boy. He came and saw me, and we're going to go to the movie tonight. Wouldn't that thrill you?
I'd be like, all right, whatever.
So I don't love volleyball anymore. I don't like it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right, man. She don't like volleyball anymore.
Yeah, this is like, and I'm cool. Like, I understand that all is going to happen. I got it. I'm fine with that. But it's also like everything's in due time. Everything in time. Like, and right now,
I think you're going to be a meddlesome daddy. I think you're going to stick your nose in there and say you shouldn't be dating him. That's what you're going to say.
And you know what? If I do that, Coach Wimp, I'm not going to apologize for it.
Are you and your wife sitting together at the games now? Or are y'all still on each side of the court?
No, we're still very much so separate. Last time we were together, we had a soccer game, and you know she's yelling and she's getting mad and she's saying things about, you know, she not only talks trash about our own daughter, which is she's like wants her to be more selfish. To like trying to attack a little bit more, but she's also like, this girl doesn't pass and this one, da da da. I'm literally great. Just like, hey man, like I'm just here just being happy, team positive, you know, like, hey, you know, for every one negative that all of our parents tend to focus on is usually surrounded by 10 positives. So if we can try and focus on those 10 positives and like also remember, what brings us joy? Why do we sign up to be here? Like this game, this thing, like it brought us joy at some point. So let's get back to that.
Good luck. Good luck
Thank
with
you.
All that.
That's all I got. That's all I got. Yeah. Yeah. That's all I got.
I tell you right now, it's a great interview. I appreciate you being on.
Yeah. How many
man, you know how much I care for you, man. I love you, man. I appreciate it, man.
Bro, how many haircuts do you get a month? Do you already have it scheduled? Like when you leave, do you schedule the next one? You already have them scheduled out?
So I don't schedule it. I just call my guy, and he just knows, like, if I show up, because I'm, like, kind of VIP for him because he's been my barber for 12 years. So every month I get a haircut.
My golf's gone downhill.
So wait a minute. You walk in and you just jump the line and you're up? Next.
I don't jump the line, but I patiently wait, but not too patiently.
Yeah, you jump the line. All right, Roman. Great stuff. I don't know who the best
hey,
in the SEC is.
My golf's gone downhill, Raymond. Roman, you any good?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going right now with my iron shots bad. I'm going to go hit some tee balls. I'm going to go hit some balls today, though.
There you go.
Your club face is open at address.
Where is SEC Nation?
I'm literally pulling the ball.
Your club face is closed at address.
Where are y'all going this weekend, Roman?
Gainesville, Texas at Florida. Really looking forward to it. It's going to be fun because I don't know who Texas is all the way. And Florida is playing really good defense. They had come out for bye week. We'll see if they can be motivated to go get this one.
There you go. Enjoy it. Have a safe trip. Thanks, Roman.
Thanks,
all right,
Roman. You're great.
All right, there, Roman Harper. Thank you. The best. All right, Chase, we got to get to break here. Now, before we do it, though, let's tell them about Bryant Bank.
Well, Bryant Bank is an outstanding bank in personal or business accounts, either one. They'll do the job for you. They'll be darn sure that your money is safe. Boy, what a sentence that is. Be sure that your money is safe. You'll be able to bank on around the clock online, which is big. They will know you when you walk in the bank, and they will be glad that you're there. And the second time, they'll know your name. They'll be interested in schools that surround the bank, which is important to you if you have kids. So go by Bryant Bank. Heard it on, except tell them you heard us mention, Barry and I mentioned inside in the locker room, we mentioned the Bryant Bank, and I think it should be well placed.
All right, we'll get back. It'll be the vinegar tip for this Tuesday. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. And just like that, traffic has thinned out considerably, specifically in Northport. 69 had a big rip on the southbound lanes onto Union Chapel Road. So now traffic is a little slow but steady. Union Chapel Road is still on the heavier side there as you've tried to...
Your chance to win tickets. Bring the entire family. Enjoy food, fun, and one of the largest art shows in the Southeast. For more info on the festival, go to kintop.org.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we're going to talk Alabama Vanderbilt. We'll do it with Mike Dettillier. We'll take your scores on a Southern Owl House score prediction day. We'll talk to Hugh Millen, former NFL quarterback. He's going to share some thoughts on this Alabama offense and a lot more. Starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. And just like that, traffic has thinned out considerably, specifically in Northport. 69 had a big rip on the southbound lanes onto Union Chapel Road. So now traffic is a little slow but steady. Union Chapel Road is still on the heavier side there as you've tried to...
Teacher-led learning projects. Students and teachers, how can you spark great learning experiences in your classrooms today? Join at thinkitup.org.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance. In
another language, save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny today. Just a small chance of a shower this afternoon or this evening. The high today 86, the low tonight 66. Tomorrow partly sunny, the chance of a shower stays very small. The high 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 66 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good.
outside the locker room. You know what that song means. It's the vinegar tip for this Tuesday, brought to you by our great friend Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 302 Merchants Walk, Suite 200. Where is that? Right across from Indian Hills, right there by Talbot. You go by and see Michael. He'll set you right up. Home, life, auto, whatever you need. 205-752-8500. All right, what is the tip for this Tuesday? I can't hear him. Do we lose him? Do I have to get him back for the tip? I thought I set that up well, too. So we lost him. Well, while we're getting him, too, I also want to thank Brian Harden, the Blue Plate Special. It's only 4-3. It's got a winning record, but we'll see what happens with this year. When you need streak precision and reliability, trust the team that's been building Tuscaloosa and beyond for over 30 years. That's Brian Harden Construction. They're your partner in industrial fabrication, steel working, heavy equipment services, from custom welding and structural steel to 24/7 crane rentals. No job is too big or too tough. Family owned, woman led, safety driven. That's Brian Harden Construction. All right, we lost you. What's the vinegar tip for this Tuesday?
Y'all were lucky, y'all. Well, a lot of times you have minor burns. You have not really bad burns, but burns that bother you and that you want to call them minor, but they're not really minor in your brain. So you got to do something to try to make that better. So one thing to do is to get you some cold apple cider vinegar. And put it on there and pat the area with that vinegar real easy. Now you got to, in order to get that thing where it won't bother you, you got to repeat every 20 minutes as needed. And that remedy is also recommended for live burns. But whatever, way back when housewives stirred up their own soup from a combination of wood, ashes, and fat and lye, they expected to splash some problems on their hands and their arms. That's what they used. They took that apple cider vinegar that made it be darn cold and laid it on there and patted it good, and that caused those burns to really digress, and you'll feel a lot better. So if you have a minor burn, now, you know, there are a lot of burns that are really bad. I don't recommend that for the big burns, but if you got something from the skillet or something like that, the minor burn, get that apple cider vinegar. Be sure it's a little bit cold and pat it on there, and your burn is going to be a lot better.
There you go. So that's brought to you by, see what you're paying for, Michael. If you get a burn, you got it. Sunburn and a burn, just a regular burn, apple cider vinegar will take great care of that. That's Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500. All right, tomorrow's show, Kevin Skarbinski, he's normally with us on Tuesdays. He'll be with us tomorrow. We'll also talk with Bill Cameron. Reese Davis will join us on Friday at 8 o'clock. So we've got a great week ahead of our JC on Thursday, so we'll get a little bit more into this Vanderbilt Alabama game. But you heard Roman Harper. He actually acted like Vanderbilt was better than Georgia the way he was breaking them down. So we'll see.
You listen, Roman Harper was good.
Yeah, Roman Harper was good. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.